May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dr. Charles Campbell is a professor of preaching at Duke Divinity School. He remembers something that happened a few years ago when he was channel surfing on TV. He paused to watch part of an interview with talk show host Dr. Phil. He was intrigued because the tables were turned. Dr. Phil was the one in the hot seat as he answered questions instead of asking them. At one point, the interviewer asked Dr. Phil, if you could interview anyone in the world, past or present, who would it be? And Dr. Phil replied without hesitation, Jesus Christ. He said, I would really like to interview Jesus Christ. I would like to have a conversation with him about the meaning of life. And Dr. Campbell remembers thinking to himself, I am not so sure that you really want to do that. You do not want to sit down with Jesus, treat him like an interviewee, and ask him about the meaning of life. Are you crazy? He would turn your world upside down and inside out. He would confound all of your questions and probably end up telling you to sell everything you own, give the money to the poor, and come and follow him. Dr. Phil, you do not want to interview Jesus. And honestly, I don't want to either. I don't think it would go well. The chief priests and the elders would probably say the same thing. Oh, you do not want to interview Jesus. It did not go well for us. The chief priests and the elders, the religious authorities and civic leaders, they thought they had the upper hand when they confronted Jesus in the temple. They thought they were the ones who would corner Jesus with questions about his authority, but then they realized that they were the ones with their backs up against the wall. They couldn't answer his question about John the Baptist without either condemning themselves or inciting a riot, so they said nothing. But Jesus wasn't done with them yet. He came back with a second question. What do you think? Jesus asked. Is the child who does the will of his father the one who says he will do what his father asks and then stands on the sidelines and watches? Or is it the one who actually does what his father asks, even if he might have said no in the first place? The chief priests and the elders knew the answer to that question. It was obvious. Although both sons said one thing and did another, clearly repentance was preferable to hypocrisy. They answered Jesus' question with confidence. The son who did the will of his father wasn't the one who just talked the talk. It was the son who walked the walk. But again, the chief priests and the elders, they found themselves with their backs up against the wall because Jesus still was not done with them. He said, let me tell you something else. You know the tax collectors and the prostitutes, the people you despise and condemn? Well, they are the ones who will get into heaven before you. Because when John the Baptist came, the tax collectors and the prostitutes, they believed him, and you did not. And even after you saw the streams of people who were making their way down to the Jordan to be baptized into new life, you did not change your minds. You said you would do what God asked of you, but then you stood on the sidelines and watched while other people walked their way right into the kingdom of God. You all can talk the talk, but it just doesn't seem like you are ready to walk the walk. Now that was not exactly what the chief priests and the elders wanted to hear. They were the leaders in their community. They were the people everyone looked up to. They were the ones people went to for guidance and advice, but there they were, their backs against the wall, probably regretting with every fiber of their beings that they had ever decided to interview Jesus. Now, over the past month or so, Reverend Larry and I have been working through a sermon series called Mythbusters, Church Edition. This series has taken us through the top five myths and stereotypes that young people outside the church believe about people inside the church. For those of you who might have missed a Sunday or two along the way, here's a reminder of those stereotypes. We started with the stereotype that Christians are judgmental. Then churches only care about money. Christians are concerned about the wrong things in the world. Church is boring. And last but not least, Christians too often talk the talk without walking the walk. And today we are tackling that final stereotype that Christians talk the talk, but we don't walk the walk. Now, for people who stand outside the church looking in, it seems like what happens here in worship is just a lot of talk. We talk about what it means to believe in God. We talk about what it means to follow Jesus. We talk about what it means to trust in the Spirit. But then we leave this place and we go back to our lives and nothing changes. We still make mistakes. The world is still broken. And it seems like we are just standing on the sidelines watching things fall apart all around us. People outside the church too often think that what happens here for an hour each week ends up having little influence on the other 167 hours of the week. And if that's the case, why should they bother coming here at all? People outside the church echo Jesus' words, "You all can talk the talk, but it just doesn't seem like you're willing to walk the walk." And so we find ourselves with our backs up against the wall. But if we go back to the parable of the two sons, maybe there is hope for us yet. Because as individuals and as a church, I bet we have all been both children at one time or another. There are times when we say no to God. Our no isn't necessarily offered out of rebellion or resistance. Sometimes our no comes because we are too busy or too preoccupied. We are too afraid or too overwhelmed. But then one day, we discover a yearning inside of us, a hunger for God, and there is nothing that can stop us from giving ourselves over to the work of the kingdom. And so we become that other child, the one who's all, "Here I am, and send me." The one who decides to read through the whole Bible in a year, or to get up 30 minutes early every morning to pray. The one who decides to volunteer more time or give more money. The one who decides to see each and every person as a child of God, even when they cut us off on the highway or honk right when the light turns green. But then time goes by, and the fire in our soul goes out, and we start honking back. But here's the good news. Whether we are resistant or eager, whether we are devoted or distracted, we can take heart because both children are children of the Father. Both are summoned. Both are sent. And the fact is, we don't really know how it ends for either of them. We don't know what happens the next day when the Father sends both of his sons out to the vineyard again. Jesus doesn't tell us how it ends, which means the story is ours. It's our turn to write the ending. Throughout this sermon series, Reverend Larry and I have argued that our best response to these stereotypes about Christians isn't to deny them or ignore them. We need to acknowledge them and learn from them. Our best response to these stereotypes about Christians is to become a better type of Christian. And so this is our chance. This is our chance to walk the walk of our faith. This is our chance to put our faith into action. When we leave here on Sunday mornings, we each have a chance to show the world that what happens here for 1 hour each week has a direct influence on how we live the other 167 hours of the week. Each and every moment of each and every day, we have decisions to make. Are we going to stand on the sidelines? Or are we going to walk ourselves right into the heart of God's kingdom? So what will you do? Take a moment and think about the week ahead. Think, if you can, about what is on your calendar at home, at work, at school. Think about the meetings you have to go to or the projects you have to do. Think about the errands you need to run or the conversations you need to have. Think about the people you will see or those you've been avoiding. Think about the places you will go or those you've been avoiding. And now, in your mind, pick one thing that you can do to put your faith into action, one thing you can do this week to show the world that what happens here has changed you in some way. Because the best way to convince people that church matters isn't to talk more. We need to walk more. We need to do everything we can to move off the sidelines and to walk right into the heart of God's kingdom. So my prayer for each one of us is that today, as we leave this place, we will take the first step. Amen.